The Senate will come to order without objection. The Senate will now stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Senate Rule 24.1, to reconvene today at 10 a.m.
Ready? Introduction of bills. Senate Joint Resolution 760 by Senator Daniel, a joint resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening. Senate Bill 761 by Senator Rabin, a bill to be entitled to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President Pro Tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives and to make corrections to previous appointments. Committee report. Senator Daniel for Redistricting and Elections Committee submits the following recommendation as to passage. House 898, Committee Substitute Number 1. House Redistricting Plan 2023, House 898, Edition 2, favorable.
Senate will come to order. Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members will return to their seats. And members and guests will please silence all electronic devices. Leading the Senate in prayer is Senator Jim Bergen of Harnett County. All members and guests will please stand.
I don't know if we're going to see each other again before Thanksgiving, but if we don't come together, I just want to wish you and your families a wonderful Thanksgiving. And folks, even though there's a lot going on in the world, we still have so many things to be thankful for. I want to read a verse, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each member of this body. I pray for their staffs. Lord, I pray for the staff in this building. And I just pray for this state. Lord, you have blessed us in so many ways, and we are thankful. And I just lift up our state and ask that you, Lord, just draw our eyes and an attention towards you, and that we just acknowledge you in all the things we do. And I want to pray for the whole situation in Israel. Lord, there's about 218 hostages, folks from 6 months old to over 80 years old. And Lord, we just ask you to protect them, Lord, and free them. And we ask all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Senator Heiss is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. The journal of October 24, 2023 has been examined and found to be correct. I move to dispense with the reading of the journal and stand approved as read.
Without objection, the journal for October 24, 2023 stands approved as written. Members' leaves of absence are requested and without objection are granted for Senators Corbin, Rabin, Robinson, Salvador, and Smith. Are there any conference reports that need to be reported in? Senator Perry, for what purpose your eyes?
Send forward a conference report.
Send forward your conference report. Clerk will read.
Senator Perry submits conference report for Senate Bill 274. The conferees appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 274, bill to be entitled An Act Directing the Department of Health and Human Services to study the array of services available to support older adults in North Carolina who live independently and to report findings and recommendations to the General Assembly. House Committee Substitute Favorable 9523 submit the following report.
Senator Daniel, for what purpose your eyes?
A series of motions.
State your motions.
I move that House Bill 5, Local Changes Omnibus, be removed from today's calendar and placed on the floor calendar for our next legislative day.
So ordered.
I move that the following bills be added to today's calendar. House Bill H-898, House Redistricting Plan, Senate Joint Resolution 760, Adjournment Resolution, Senate Bill 761, General Assembly Appointments, and Senate Bill 274, Conference Report. I move that all of those be added to today's calendar and that Senate Bill 761 be placed last on the calendar.
Without objection. So ordered. Any other motions or any business we need to attend to before we get to our calendar? Okay, local bill, third reading. Senate Bill 68, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 68, various local changes.
Is there a discussion or debate on this conference report motion on third reading? Hearing none, question for the Senate is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 68, on its third reading. All in favor would vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk to record the vote. Senator Saury.
Mr. President.
Senator Waddell, for appropriate
change
rights.
Vote to yes.
Senator Waddell, from no to aye. Senator Saury, aye. Senator Applewhite,
aye.
From no to aye. 45 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The conference report is adopted, and the House will be notified. Another local bill conference report for third reading, Senate Bill 154. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 154, Omnibus Occupancy Tax Changes.
Is there a discussion or debate on this conference report motion on third reading? Hearing none, question for the Senate is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 154 on its third reading. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Senator Woodard, aye. Senator Lowe, aye. Senator Murdoch, aye. Senator Grafstein, aye. 45 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The conference report is adopted, and the House will be notified. Public bill, third reading, Senate Bill 758. Clerk will read.
Senate Bill 758, realign NC Senate Districts 2023, SB 7582ED.
Senator Daniel is recognized to explain the bill on its third reading.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I think we had a thorough discussion on this bill yesterday, so I'll just ask for your support.
Senator Bodie, for what purpose arise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Senator Daniel, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you. Senator, just have a few questions. We'll certainly take them one at a time. But I was wondering if you could tell me, do the citizens of North Carolina have a right to fair elections, yes or no?
Senator Daniel, you may respond.
I really think this departs from the idea of passing a Senate map. Of course, all of us agree that the citizens of North Carolina deserve fair elections. We've addressed some of that in our elections reform bills, Senate Bill 747 and 749, which I think will hopefully give the people of North Carolina confidence in our elections going forward that they don't have today.
Senator Bodie, for what purpose arise?
Follow-up question.
Senator Daniel, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you. So I agree. The people of North Carolina do have a right to fair elections. So is intentionally placing voters in one district over another explicitly for partisan advantage. Is that fair?
Senator Daniel, you may respond.
So I think the question is, what does the Constitution say? The Constitution says that the legislature is to draw the maps based on the census data. That's what this legislature did. The courts, both in North Carolina and in the U.S. Supreme Court, have said that using political information in map drawing is non-justiciable. So as we've said over and over in committee, political considerations were one of the criteria that were used among a number of other criteria, including contiguity and compactness and keeping municipalities whole and those type of things, not splitting VTDs. So I think that answers your question.
Senator Boddy, for what purpose arise?
Follow-up question.
Senator Daniel, do you yield?
I yield for this third deposition question.
He yields.
We're just getting started. So follow-up to that point. So I guess what you're saying is that because it is now legal to use partisan advantage, that is fair?
What I said is that the Constitution directs the General Assembly to be the only body that is to draw congressional and General Assembly maps, that the courts have allowed partisan considerations to be one of the criteria in doing that, and that's what we have said multiple times in committee was one of our criteria.
So, follow-up.
Senator Daniel, do you yield?
Mr. President, I don't yield. I think we should just get this session moving today.
He does not yield.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Boddy, for what purpose are you on?
To ask another bill sponsor a question? Senator Newton?
Senator Newton, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you, Senator Newton. So, going off that point, what was just discussed with your co-sponsor of a bill, do you believe that if something is legal, then it is therefore fair?
Mr. President, members, I don't think that question is any more constructive than the question you asked my fellow bill sponsor. What I will say is the maps that you have before you, we thoroughly 100% believe are fair and legal and comply with the law.
Okay, so
Senator Boddy, for what purpose are you?
Thank you. So just as a follow-up for clarity,
Senator Boddy, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you. To ask a follow-up question?
To who?
To Senator Newton.
Senator Newton, do you yield?
I do.
He yields.
Thank you. So just for clarity purposes, yes or no, if something is legal, then it is fair.
First of all, I don't think you have the right to tell me it must be yes or no. This is not a cross-examination. You are not a legal counsel in some deposition. I am saying that we believe the maps that have been drawn and are hopefully going to be passed today will be upheld by the courts of the land as fair and legal.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Boddy, for what purpose arise?
Yeah, I just want to say I don't to speak to the bill.
You have the floor to speak to the bill.
Thank you. I don't have any notes to speak to today. I asked this line of questioning because the people of North Carolina are entitled to fair elections. I'm so disappointed that myself and some of our other colleagues have not been able to ask questions of certain bill sponsors, even though this has only gone through one committee. And I would really encourage you today to think about, what Senator McGinnis said yesterday. Every day is Veterans Day. People have fought and defended this Constitution and our values. In passing these maps, which are unfair and provide for partisan advantage and thereby silence some votes, others, it's wrong. It's wrong, and it goes against the oath of office that we all swore to uphold. So, thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Applewhite, for what purpose you rise?
To speak to the bill.
You have the floor.
Thank you, sir. I wasn't as lucky yesterday as Senator Boddy because I wanted to ask the bill sponsors a question, but no one yielded to me. So did a great job, Senator Boddy. One of the things that I spoke of is that I represent Cumberland County, as I mentioned yesterday, and I'm glad to share that county with my colleague, Senator McGinnis. And we both won our elections. There were no landslides, but we won our elections. So I was confused as to why our districts were changed at all. Me representing Senate District 19, he in 21. But as I did observe the precincts in the redrawn district, I noticed that my district, Senate District 19, received all of the historically black districts. When I say historically, in Fayetteville, prior to annexations, there is an historic area where teachers and military people live, and also has Fayetteville State University. So all of the historically black precincts that were previously in Senate District 21 are now in Senate District 19. And conversely, the predominantly white districts that primarily sit in the county, not in the city of Fayetteville, but Stedman and Wade, that were my districts that I won with those districts, are no longer in my district, but are now in Senator McGinnis's. So my observation, it looked as though the black and the white districts were flipped. Yesterday, I wanted to ask the bill sponsor his definition or understanding of the practice of packing. So I looked it up, and it says, in redistricting, packing refers to the practice of drawing electoral districts to consolidate the population of a community or constituency into a small number of districts. By concentrating the population of this group, its influence is minimalized in other districts. And that, in my opinion, is what I believe has happened in our districts. Leader Blue mentioned yesterday that it appears to be a little bit less than 10% swing in racial differences. I gained 10% more black, and Senator McGinnis seems to have gained 10% more white. And I heard the bill sponsors say time and time again that race was not considered in the drawing of these maps. Personally, I find it hard to believe that that precision could be made in two districts without ever referring to race. While it may make my district safer for me as a black person, and it may make Senator McGinnis's district safer, it's not good for democracy. It's not good for black voters to be packed into a district and minimize their vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Murdoch, for what purpose your eyes?
To speak on the bill.
You have the floor.
My remarks will center around Senate District 7 and 8. Do enjoy working with you. Senator Lee, as you know, I have a lot of family in that area, so that's why I'd be remiss if I didn't say something on their behalf. This map carves six precincts in the middle of the city of Wilmington and puts them in with neighboring Brunswick County. And that's a problem because that splits Wilmington when we don't have to. It carves out the overwhelmingly black precincts and just those precincts. That's a problem. Our last few rounds of maps commonly do that, and it's referred to as the Wilmington Notch. The map originally enacted in 2021 didn't carve out any part of Wilmington. You needed to add population to Brunswick County to even out from Brunswick County to even out the population. You kept Wilmington whole and took precincts from unincorporated parts of northern New Hanover County, leaving as much population in New Hanover County as possible. The population between the two districts varied by around 12,000 votes. Weighted the criteria of not splitting municipalities, keeping counties as whole as possible, and having population as equal as possible. When the court ordered a redraw, the criteria was changed and carved into Wilmington, again creating that Wilmington notch. You said that you had to take precincts from Wilmington in order to avoid splitting precincts, make the districts compact, and get the population evenly split. So you added four precincts along the Brunswick County border. Those precincts were heavily Democratic and white. This means you split a municipality, but the map became more compact with a more evenly split population, only a 4,000 vote difference. So there were some trade-offs. But let's address the current proposed map. Now, this map doesn't adhere to all of that criteria that mattered before. It's not as compact, population is split, and doesn't do everything to keep these municipalities together. You traded in some heavily white Democratic leading precincts for precincts with high black voting age population, one as high as 68%, W-29. It is, in fact, the strongest voting black precinct in New Hanover County. Stretched way out to W-15, which has an African-American population of almost 50%. Wilmington notch, W-29, W-15. As we discuss these maps, the average person does not even know what we're talking about. So let's dig behind these numbers and what these phrases mean. These are people. These are voters. I happen to know many of them. For me, W-9 means family. It represents pride and freedom. It represents black families that scraped what they had together after their businesses were burned to the ground. Family members were massacred. Some of them lost their land and it was stolen. And let's not forget political power ripped from their bare hands. But they stayed in Wilmington because it was their home. They settled downtown. I spent many summers in Wilmington growing up. We almost always stayed at my Uncle Wiley's home, who lived in W-29. They were a family of ministers, supporting and ministering at churches in those same areas. So these comments are from my Uncle Wiley, from my Aunt Flossie, my Aunt Mary Ida, for those black families that worked hard every single day, bought some land, built homes, and raised their families. My ancestors and their descendants deserve better than this. These three precincts have pieces of land that have been owned by black people since the early 1900s. And let me be clear, I am sure that my family members will get their constituent services the same way that I am proud to provide constituent services to the Republicans that I represent in my district. But these voters to live in New Hanover County, a county that President Biden carried in 2020, has Democrats on city council, that has a Democrat on the county commission, and to know that they can phone bank until they are hoarse, they can knock on doors until their hands become bloody, and they will still have a really, really, really hard time getting a Democrat elected to the state senate. I spent most of my evening last night, literally through midnight, on the phone with family members and folks in the area that live in these precincts that will now be in a deep red district. One of my cousins said that she nearly fainted when she saw the Senate map. She stated that after fighting so hard for the right to vote, she now knows that her vote will not matter. This district should remain fair and should not silence their voices by gerrymandering. This is one more thing being taken away from the families in these precincts. But that's the point. To gerrymander voters into submission with surgical precision.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Blue, for what purpose do you rise?
Comment briefly on the bill.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to, and I do intend to be brief, but I want to point out two things. Number one, I would correct my colleague that political gerrymandering is legal. The leading decision on this issue is a North Carolina case. It was the case of Rucho, former Senator Rucho, that went up to the Supreme Court. And Chief Justice Roberts, actually based on a case called Davis versus Vandermeer from the 80s, said that political gerrymandering is not legal. It violates the Constitution. But there is no federal remedy. That the remedy would be for states, for those who were harmed, to use state constitutions to effect a remedy for political gerrymandering. And that's why a lot of states have addressed it. Our state Supreme Court determined that there's no basis in the state constitution for banning political gerrymandering. That's what was decided back in, I guess, January or February. But political gerrymandering is not across the board legal. Now, a couple of other points I want to make, and this addresses specifically some of the issues that our members have talked about and they've commented on. First, I compared our maps with the House maps, and our maps are easier to draw because we got much bigger maps. We don't have to split precincts and counties to the degree, precincts primarily, or voter tabulation districts to the extent that you do in making House districts because the numbers are much closer. And I saw this morning that in the House, there are six splits among 120 House members. Only six DTD splits among 120 House members. And there is no double bunking, which is much more difficult to avoid the fewer the maps and the smaller the districts you have. We talked yesterday about the double bunking in this map. And I point out to you that what I talked about yesterday with respect to the northeastern part of the state, one of the tests that they use or one of the standards that they use in federal cases, civil cases, in determining whether or not there is a racial gerrymander is called the totality of circumstances. They don't just look at those districts that are affected, but what's happening in the overall map, the totality of circumstances. And so I point out to the lawyers, because I know they're listening, that the totality of circumstances in this case underscore that there's racial gerrymandering going on. If you look at the Wilmington district, you pick the six heaviest black precincts in Wilmington. And it creates a projection into the city of Wilmington. It goes almost halfway through the city in order to get them all. Very thin, but it goes straight through those six heavily black precincts. That's one indication of what the totality of circumstances were in drawing the map. A second thing that it does, again, whether in and of itself it would be illegal, looks at what you've done in Cumberland County, again, affecting primarily black voters, what you've done in Forsyth County, affecting primarily black voters, what you've done even in Mecklenburg and Wake counties in creating the districts, you increase the black percentages in the surrounding districts, but not to an extent that it adds any advantage to them being in those districts. And I just wanted to point those things out to you in this map. Lastly, and I asked my colleagues, and I know the three members who drew these maps, and I think that, that they're honorable gentlemen, but I pointed out that in the choices that had to be made, you made the decision only to double bunk women in this map. An intentional decision. Women are involved in the 14th Amendment too, you know. You decided to bunk women in Mecklenburg County. Now, there may have been some animus involved in deciding to go get Senator Marcus, but you chose a woman to bunk when you were creating the district down in Mecklenburg and protecting everybody else in it, leaving two open districts in Mecklenburg County. You chose to negatively affect women in Wake County. You moved Senator Batch out of a district that she's represented either in the House or the Senate for several terms. But, yeah, you put her in another district rather than just leaving her hanging loose or double bunking her. But then you chose Senator Grafstein to double buck here in Wake County. And I was trying to get some sense of what the pattern was, whether there was some animus against women in this map. Maybe there's not. I think there is. But also, you made the intentional decision to go after the only Jewish person in this chamber, the only LGBTQ person in this chamber, people who bring diversity and diverse ideas that we can consider and debate. You know, there are 49 of us, other than Senator Grafstein. We can decide what of the stuff that she might advocate strongly for we want to agree with. It's not a single member decision that enacts laws here. But you intentionally went after these people in this mail. And you know, maybe there were compelling reasons for your doing that, but I can't seem to put my finger on any of them. And so in the committee, I asked the committee chairs, is it that you don't like women? There happen to be 13 women in the Democratic caucus, and we've made a great effort to further diversify our caucus in the way that we recruit candidates. And so, yeah, we take some umbrage at the fact that you go after two of the women that we've recruited, two women who serve their constituency with honor and distinction, and still advocate strongly for the people who elected them. So I want you to think about that as we prepare for these maps that we're going to be asked are forced to run under. But I want you to think about it in the wee hours of the morning when you really reflect on what our day's work has been and how it affects real people. Not just how we might amass power and you know, create supermajorities and things like that, but whether we indeed have been fair to identifiable people and identifiable genders, faiths, and preferences that we might think about in this process. And I think it will make you think that maybe there is some unfairness in these maps, regardless of how fair you might want to say they are. And, you know, at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, maybe it won't haunt you so that you regret not taking steps now to do something about it, rather than reflecting on it in the waning years of your existence here on Earth. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Hearing none, the question for the Senate is the passage on third reading of Senate Bill 758. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting. Clerk will record the vote. Twenty-eight having voted in the affirmative, 17 in the negative. Senate Bill 758 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the House. Added items, Senate Joint Resolution 760. The clerk will read.
Senate Joint Resolution 760, Adjournment Resolution.
Senator Daniels recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this resolution will look familiar to you. It set forth the schedule for the next several months, taking us all the way to the short session. Under the bill, the House and Senate will adjourn today, October 25th, to return to session on November 29th. At that time, we could take up substantive business dealings with a limited number of eligible topics, which are enumerated in the bill. These are consistent with what typically has been eligible under past resolutions. However, if there is no substantive business to take up, then this resolution will automatically adjourn until the following day. So under the resolution, we will follow a similar approach, coming back roughly every 30 days and then automatically adjourning if there is no substantive business to take up all the way until April. And finally, the resolution will set the return date for the short session Wednesday, April 24th. It establishes the bill request and bill filing deadlines, as well as the categories of bills that are eligible to be filed in the short session, which, again, are largely the same as what we've seen in the past. Within those eligibility categories, there are a couple of minor clarifying changes to better reflect our existing practices. One change to highlight is the removal of some parameters around local bills that are eligible to be filed. This should allow members additional flexibility to work on their local priorities during a short session, and I'm happy to answer questions if there are any.
Discussion or debate? Hearing none, question for the Senate is the passage on second reading of Senate Joint Resolution 760. All in favor would vote aye. All opposed vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Senator Blue? Aye. Senator Batch? Aye. Senator Grafstein? Aye. 45 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, Senate Joint Resolution 760 has passed its second reading. Senator Daniel, for what purpose your eyes?
Mr. President, if we could hold the third reading of that bill to the last of the calendar, just to make sure we get all of our other business accomplished.
Without objection. So ordered. Senate Bill 761, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 761, Additional General Assembly Appointments.
Senator Daniels recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this appointments bill makes appointments to expired terms on various boards and commissions and fills slots created in Senate Bill 512 and Senate Bill 749 and in the budget. These names were selected by the President Pro Tem's office after careful consideration of eligible candidates. The bill also appoints members to the restructured State Board of Elections to allow 2 members appointed by the pro tem, 2 appointed by the speaker, and 2 appointed by each of the minority leaders in the General Assembly. The bill is missing the minority leaders' seats for the State Board of Elections. Senator Berger's office sent out a letter to Senator Blue's office over a week ago asking for the names, but we have not received those names at this time. So I would ask for your support of the bill.
Discussion or debate? Senator Blue, for what purpose your eyes?
Just a quick comment on the resolution.
You have the floor.
The bill, I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I just wanted to comment that in the, I guess it's 749, one of those bills, the minority leaders are given their duty and obligation to name and recommend to the presiding officers, or at least in the Senate, the President Pro Tem and the Speaker in the House, nominees for the Board of Elections. I think it's an understatement to say that I've been sort of occupied this week on little matters like redistricting, and I acknowledge to Senator Berger that we will get them in. Unfortunately, I don't have any infrastructure in my office to check backgrounds and stuff on people who I nominate and appoint, and I just don't want to just arbitrarily do it. But it's my intention to provide those names, and I've been assured that once I get them in, when we come back again, we can make sure that the Board of Elections, the reconstituted Board of Elections, as it's contemplated, would have appointments by both the President Pro Tem, the Speaker of the House, the House Minority Leader, as well as yours truly. Just wanted to make that clear. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Heiss, for what purpose your eyes?
Send forth an amendment.
Send forward your amendment. Clerk will read.
Senator Heiss moves to amend the bill.
Senator Heiss is recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, members of the Senate, this amendment really fixes predominantly a lot of technical issues, years, spelling of names and others, but it does also add one appointment to DOT that was not part of the original bill, but is in the timeline to be appointed, and we got this information a little later than the printing of the bill, so I'd appreciate your support.
Discussion or debate? Hearing none, question for the Senate is the adoption of Amendment 1 to Senate Bill 761. All in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Britt, aye. Applewhite, aye.
Waddell, aye.
Senator Waddell changes from no to aye. 42 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. Amendment 1 is adopted, and the bill is back before us. Discussion or debate on Senate Bill 761. Senator Woodard, for what purpose you rise?
Speak to the bill.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, divisional representation matters. I want to speak to the DOT appointments that are in this bill. Some of you will remember, I know Senator McKinnis remembers well, that in spring of 2020, DOT was in a big hole, and we worked with our former colleague, Senator Jim Davis, and fixed that hole with a compromise that acknowledged the divisional representation on our Board of Transportation that we still have today. And when Senate Bill 512 came before us, the Appointment Authority Bill came before us earlier this year, it was introduced, and I expressed concerns in that bill with leadership and in committee about the divisional representation on the DOT board. Now, in this bill, we learned that for the first time that a near century of precedent in making appointments to the DOT board has ended, unceremoniously, I might say. I'm not here to debate Senate Bill 512. I think that's going to be taken care of in another venue next week. Nor to comment on the nominees. In the last days, I've looked at the nominees submitted by both the President Pro Tem and the Speaker. There's some really good nominees there that are in this bill. But replacing the current division representation on our Board of Transportation with members from DOT's distribution regions is flawed at best. Regional representation matters. Currently, our board of the divisional representatives, 4 of the 5 women who serve on our DOT board represent one of the 14 divisions. All 5 people of color on our current DOT board are divisional representatives. But perhaps even more importantly, and the century of precedent, is that when we have divisional representation on our board, we always recognize that that was your DOT rep. Those of you who've worked in transportation, either through business or you are a local elected official, you always had that DOT rep for your division. They may not live in your county. They might live 2 or 3 counties away, but you could always reach out to them. You could always bring issues to them. We continue that today. You invited them to come speak at your Rotary Club to update you on transportation. They came and met with your Chamber of Commerce board to talk about their needs. You could take them around your community so they could see your roads and bridges, airports, ports, and understand your community's needs when it came to transportation. But with this proposal before us today, 5 of our 14 divisions will no longer have representation on the DOT board. And I did a map. You can't see it real well. I was doing it this morning at my breakfast table at 6:30. But large swaths of the state will no longer have a DOT representative. The Northeast, let's go up to Currituck, for instance, and down through Division 1. No DOT representative with this appointments bill. Go down to the middle area on the coast, down through the lovely Golden Coast there in Carteret County. No representation on the DOT board. In fact, from Currituck to Brunswick, the two DOT representatives that represent our coast and understand the special needs of transportation along the North Carolina coast will now live in New Hanover County. Two fine people, from what I understand. I know one of them and have read about the second appointment. That's not my point. You've done away with regional representation with this process and with these appointments. Let's go to the Northwest. Division 9, from Stokes County all the way down to Rowan County. No representation. The Northeast corner along the Virginia border, turning onto Tennessee, through Divisions 11 and 13 all the way down through Buncombe. No representation by your DOT board member now with these appointments and this flawed process that we've developed. That's not going to make for a great board, y'all. But then, the diversity of these appointments. We just added one, so the House finally got us their seventh name. All 14 are white, and 12 of the 14 are men. That does not represent our state. It does not represent the district's divisions that these folks are supposed to represent. Now, you might say the governor still has six, under Senate Bill 512, the governor still has his six at-large appointments. And consistent with the governor's appointments to the current board, we can almost guess that they will be a diverse group. That's been this governor's appointment policy throughout. But the diminished, and I would argue unconstitutional, appointment power that Senate Bill 512 leaves the governor, he shouldn't be expected to fill all these gaps that I've laid out for you by either characteristic of the person or by region with just his six appointments. Mr. President, colleagues, I'll take my seat in just a minute as I see the Oxmeter Committee is convening. But I recognize that in this appointment bill, and I recognize that this is an appointment bill naming folks to seats on the last day of session. I got what that bill is. However, I care so deeply about good transportation policy in our state, crafted by an effective and representative Board of Transportation, that I had to share these concerns about the end result of a flawed process.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Mayfield, for what purpose you rise?
To speak to the bill?
You have the floor.
Thank you, or the resolution. I would like to reiterate and support everything that Senator Woodard just said. Folks may remember we flagged this as an issue when Senate Bill 512 came through. And we, on the floor and in private conversations, as Senator Woodard indicates, and now that we have seen the appointments, we do see the problem that has been created. Couple points I want to make. We have spent a lot of time this session, and I have heard many people in this chamber say that representation closest to the voters matters. Representation closest to the people matters. So that's why we've turned residential districts into electoral districts, on the theory that having someone that lives in your community and that you can point to and say, that's my person, matters. Now, these people are not elected. They are appointed. But the same principle holds true that having somebody in your division that represents your division and the interests of your DOT division matters. As Senator Woodard points out, DOT Division 13, which contains Asheville and Buncombe County, no longer has a representative on the DOT board living in Division 13. Now, we're lucky we have Chuck McGrady, who has been involved in transportation issues in Western North Carolina for a long, long time. And I I trust that he will do a great job. But the point remains, and I will also say that the largest project that is that DOT is undertaking now and probably will be for the next decade or more is happening in Asheville. It is well over $1 billion. And we do not have, under this bill and under this structure, an appointee who lives in Division 13 to help watch over that project. So the structure is flawed. I think a number of us hope that the entire bill is thrown out and we get to start over. If for some reason that is not the case, I would encourage us to re-examine at least this piece of it and return back to divisional representation. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Chaudhry, for what purpose you rise?
Speak to the bill briefly, Mr. President.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the appointments bill before us really represents the final step in a legislative power grab against the executive branch of the session. This appointments bill thumbs its nose at a core civic principle taught to every middle and high school student, the separation of powers. It does away with the idea of checks and balances because there are no checks on the legislature, and it severely tilts the balance in favor of the legislature. This bill, appointment bill, as Senator Woodard has stated, is unconstitutional. And this point was conveyed by our highly respected nonpartisan staff that expressly said that the restructuring of the Board of Transportation, as an example, quote, may pose constitutional concerns inasmuch as under this provision, the governor would have fewer appointees than the General Assembly to the Board of Transportation. But rather than respect the separation of powers, this bill solidifies and concentrates power to just one branch of government. Today, the juxtaposition of voting on gerrymandered legislative maps and an unconstitutional legislative power grab through appointment should not be lost on the public. The first bill solidifies political power to the legislature. The second bill solidifies governing power. Both bills ultimately aim to amass complete and total control to the legislature. I urge you to vote against this unconstitutional bill.
Further discussion or debate? Senator Blue, for what purpose arise?
Comment briefly on...
You have the floor.
The bill. Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make a quick observation because I saw it. We have, in this bill, embarked upon a new system of appointing judges. And I just want to say that in North Carolina, I forget, there are 100 and some Superior Court judges. If you were looking at caseload, or you're looking at the busiest courts in the state, or you're looking at populations, which is some indication it correlates with those other things that I just mentioned, you would say that if you got 100 and this county, Wake, Mecklenburg, each having 10 or 11% or greater of the state's population, you would have the representation on the Superior Court reflecting that. This bill goes out of the way to undo that. Currently, we have 6 Superior Court judges who are resident in Wake County, and it's been like that when the county was half of its population almost. That's important for this reason. I mean, what we look for in the third branch, that is judicial branch, is somebody who's objective, somebody who's fair, somebody who's like Solomon, they're wise in making their decisions. Now, part of the thing that makes them wise is that they run amongst the people who elect them, for the most part. Superior Court judges are elected at the judicial district level. In Wake County's case, Wake County with sub-districts within the district. And unless it's something that a district attorney or the senior resident judge or a judge presiding over a case thinks has far-reaching political implications or something, those people know the community, they know the sentiments of the community, And that enters into the way they dispense justice, either criminal or civil or administrative. Here we're embarking upon a process of appointing judges who have the same jurisdiction. They're special judges, and we do have some special judges already. But if we need more judges, they ought to be allocated to the places that need them most, so that they're judges who, again, have the common touch. Not only are we dealing with changing who appoints them so that they're appointed by legislative leaders, as opposed to the governor historically when we've had special judges, and we've used special judges for many purposes. We use them to basically balance out the way judges were serving in the state when Jim Martin was governor, without regard to politics. And in fact, in an effort to make sure that there were more Republican judges reflected in the Superior Court judgeships. And we've used them when there wasn't any money for new judges, to just authorize some special judges to go where the need was greatest. When you couldn't fulfill the need in a particular district, just have people floating. What they traditionally did is on Monday morning, they got a call from the administrative office of the courts. And the administrative office of the courts said, you know, Judge Bergen down in Harnett County had an emergency come up or is sick, and you're going to be assigned the court down there for the next week, the next term. And you pack up and you go. And you fulfill that special purpose. That's what special judges do. But in this scheme or system we got now, we got special judges who are going to be part of the judge's crew in some of these counties. They cannot be the senior resident Superior Court judge, so they're not going to have the power to help set the policy in the district for the other judges. And I bet you, I'll make a wager with you, that at least three of these judges will spend most of their time in Wake County, not from Wake County, and at least three of them will spend most of their time in Mecklenburg County, not from Mecklenburg County, and probably a couple of them on the business court, which is fine because that's a statewide court. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Nothing we're going to do about it, but I want you to fully appreciate what you're doing when you cross over to doing these things a new way without having all the background information, without having all the background thought, without having all the input from the bar, North, and the Bar Association and other bar groups that let you know what the ramifications are of these kinds of tremendous earth-changing decisions.
Further discussion and debate. Members, before we vote, a leave of absence is requested and without objection is granted for Senator Hannig. Further discussion or debate? Hearing none, question for the Senate is a passage on second reading of Senate Bill 761. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Twenty-seven having voted in the affirmative, 17 in the negative. Senate Bill 761 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Discussion or debate on third reading. Hearing none, question for the Senate is a passage on third reading of Senate Bill 761. All in favor will say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it, and Senate Bill 761 has passed its third reading. The amendment will be engrossed, and the bill will be sent to the House. House Bill 898, clerk will read.
House Bill 898, House Redistricting Plan 2023, H-898-ED2.
Senator Heiss is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you again, Mr. President. Simply what you have before you is the redistricting House, the redistricting of our House of Representatives drawn by the House. It is our historical function to give a lot of difference to the House as they have drawn their maps and request the same of them for the maps we draw. So I'll be happy to answer any of your questions, but I would simply say ask for your support.
Discussion or debate? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is a passage on second reading of House Bill 898. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk to record the vote. Senator Batch, no. 27, having voted in the affirmative, 17 in the negative. House Bill 898 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Discussion or debate on third reading? Hearing none. Question for the Senate is a passage on third reading. House Bill 898. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk to record the vote. Senator Bodie? No. 27 having voted in the affirmative, 17 in the negative. House Bill 898 has passed its third reading and will be enrolled. Senate Bill 274, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 274, Senior Care Options.
Senator Perry is recognized to explain the conference report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, some of you will remember this as something that was explained as like Uber for senior care. This language today reflects a compromise between the Association of Home and Hospice Care, stakeholders who provide this type of services, and North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. So it is compromise legislation. I would appreciate your support.
Discussion or debate? Hearing none, the question for the Senate is the motion to adopt the conference report, Senate Bill 274. All in favor would vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Senator Chaudhry, aye. Senator Lowe, aye. 44, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The conference report is adopted and the House will be notified. Members, upon the motion of Senator Amy Gailey of Alamance County, Chair is happy to extend courtesies of the gallery to Mr. Lee Roberts. Mr. Roberts is a member of the University of North Carolina Board of Governors. Governor Roberts, thank you for being with us today. Please stand. Senator Daniel, for what purpose your eyes?
Motion.
State your motion.
Mr. President, I believe we're at the end of the calendar, but there are some conference reports still being worked on. I move that we would take a recess for 30 minutes while we get a status of those.
Okay, and I believe we also have third reading on the adjournment resolution.
Yes, so we'll hold that
as well.
And it would be subject to Rule 24.1.
Senate will stand in recess for 30 minutes until 12:20.
The Senate will come to order. Without objection, the Senate will now stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Senate Rule 24.1, to reconvene today at 1 p.m.
Senate will come to order. Without objection, the Senate will now stand in recess, subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Senate Rule 24.1, to reconvene today at 2 p.m. Senate will come to order. Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members will return to their seats. Senator Britt, for what purpose do you rise?
To send forth a conference committee report on Senate Bill 409.
Send forward your report. The clerk will read.
Conference report submitted by Senator Britt, Senate Bill 409. The conferee is appointed to resolve the differences between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 409, a bill to be entitled An Act to Amend the Offense of Breaking or Entering into or Breaking Out of Railroad Cars, Motor Vehicles, Trailers, Aircraft, Boats, or Other Watercraft to provide that multiple acts of certain financial crime offenses may be agreed in certain circumstances when determining the level of punishment to be imposed, to provide that proving it was the regular practice of a business activity to make a memorandum, report, or data completion may be made by a memorandum report or data, unsworn declaration under penalty of perjury to allow civic youth groups to address students in public school units during civic focus week, and to require monetary compensation to owners of on-premises advertisements for the replacement or upgrade of non-conforming signs due to the change in local government regulations. House Committee Substitute Favorable 9, 1923, submit the following report.
Senator Daniel, for what purpose your eyes?
Motion.
State your motion.
I move that Senate Bill 409 conference report be added to today's calendar.
Objection. So ordered. Senate Bill 409, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 409, various changes to criminal and civil laws.
Senator Britt's recognized to explain the motion.
Thank you, Senator Berger, members. Part one of this bill deals with increasing punishment for cargo theft. This is a bill that, this part of the bill was what we passed out of this chamber unanimously. The companion bill was House Bill 590. Again, that passed out of this chamber unanimously. Part two and three deals with the aggregation of financial crimes. This passed the House 114-0. Essentially, this would apply to obtaining property by false pretenses, embezzlement, and exploitation of an older adult. An example or hypothetical would be if someone commits the crime of obtaining property by false pretenses and the dollar amount is what would ordinarily be a Class H felony, but it's in 13 different counties, that would allow one of those counties to prosecute that individual in one of those counties for what is the Class C more serious offense for obtaining property by false pretenses for that aggregate dollar amount of $300,000 if it met that amount for obtaining property by false pretenses. Part four of this bill deals with license plate readers. This is a pilot program that does have a sunset, so we get to come back and look at this at a later date. This is a very narrowly tailored license plate reader bill. It deals with someone who has a felony warrant, locating missing or endangered persons, or lost or stolen vehicle. Those are the purposes that someone could run a tag. Currently, municipalities can do this now. What this would allow is for tag readers to be placed on right-of-ways and exits from the highway. This is something that's been a priority of the State Bureau of Investigation, Highway Patrol, Chiefs of Police, Sheriff's Association for many years. Also, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. This is one of their priorities as well. Part five of this is just technical corrections to Senate Bill 579, where there was some duplicative language in that bill. Part six tries to correct some issues with the split from the Insurance Commissioner's Office of the Office of State Fire Marshal. Senator Perry worked on this part of the bill, but essentially this is something that has been worked on to deal with an issue that's been raised by all our rural fire departments across the state. Again, Senator Perry can elaborate on that part of the bill if you need to hear more. I ask that you vote to concur with the Conference Committee report on Senate Bill 409.
Discussion or debate? Hearing none, the question for the Senate is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 409. All in favor of adopting the conference report will vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds be allowed for the voting. Clerk, record the vote. Senator Buck Newton, aye. Senator Jarvis, aye. I thought there was a twitch there. 38 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The conference report is adopted, and the House will be notified. Members, that brings us back to third reading on Senate Joint Resolution 760. Senate Joint Resolution 760. Clerk will read.
Senate Joint Resolution 760, Adjournment Resolution.
Senator Daniel is recognized.
Send forth an amendment.
Send forward your amendment. Clerk will read.
Senator Daniel moves to amend the bill.
Senator Daniel is recognized to explain Amendment 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a technical correction to the adjournment resolution that addresses Senator Blue's concerns regarding appointments by the minority leader in coming back in future sessions. I ask for your support.
Before we get to debate, discussion on the amendment, and to apply to the last vote, leave of absence are requested and without objection are granted for Senators Adcock, Applewhite, Garrett, Lazara, Marcus, and Muhammad. Without objection, so ordered. Discussion or debate on Amendment 1. Hearing none, question for the Senate is the adoption of Amendment 1 to Senate Joint Resolution 760. All in favor of the amendment will vote aye. All opposed, the vote no. 5 seconds to be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Senator Newton, aye. Senator Britt, aye. 38 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Amendment is adopted, and the resolution is back before us. Is there further discussion or debate on Senate Joint Resolution 760 on its third reading? Hearing none, question for the Senate is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 760 on its third reading. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed, vote no. 5 seconds to be allowed for the voting clerk. Record the vote. Britt? Aye. Senator Buck Newton? Aye. 38 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 760 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the House. The amendment will be engrossed. Members, I believe that completes our calendar. Are there any notices or announcements? Is there further business to come before the Senate? If not, Senator Heiss is recognized for a motion.
Thank you again, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do now adjourn in accordance with Senate Joint Resolution 760, Adjournment Resolution, and subject to the provisions of Senate Rule 24.1, to reconvene on Wednesday, November 29th, 2023, at 12 p.m.
Motion is that the Senate do now adjourn pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 760, subject to the stipulation stated by Senator Heiss, to reconvene on Wednesday, November 29th, 2023, at 12 p.m. Seconded by Senator Newton. All in favor will say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the Senate stands adjourned.
Special messages from the House. Mr. President, it is ordered that a message be sent to the Senate informing the honorable body that the House of Representatives has adopted the report of the conferees on Senate Bill 68, Conference Committee Substitute Bill to be entitled Act Authorized City of Hendersonville to use proceeds from on-street parking meters on capital projects and provide that revenues realized from off-street parking facilities must be used to pay bonds issued to finance such facilities for the other capital products, change method of election in the city of Hendersonville, the village of Flat Rock and the town of Fletcher to remove the capital and satellite annexations for the city of Archdale to add certain described properties to the corporate limits of the city of Ashburn, change boundaries of the Whiteville City School Administrative Unit to prohibit homeowners associations or unit owners association regulation or prohibition of display of flags of branches of the armed forces or flags of first responders, by or with permission of owners of the property in Union County, to provide the regular municipal elections for the town of Hookerton and the town of Walsenburg shall be held in even number of years to allow Burke County to use local sales tax and use tax revenue distributed
to the county in a manner that is consistent with general law to change Johnson County Board of Education elections to residency districts, to extend the term of members of Southeast Regional Airport Authority from 2 to 4 years, and to authorize the Southeast Regional Airport Authority to convey real or personal property belonging to the authority by private negotiation and sale of long-term lease, to authorize Transylvania County to establish a rural development authority, and to change the filing period for municipal offices for the towns of Laurel Park and Mills River. And the appropriate action that's been taken by both chambers, the bill be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, James White, Principal Clerk. Senate Bill 68 is ordered and rolled. Mr. President, is ordered the message be sent to the Senate informing the honorable body. The House of Representatives has adopted the report of the conferees on Senate Bill 154, Conference Committee Substitute. Bill to be entitled on that to make various occupancy tax changes. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, James White, Principal Clerk. Senate Bill 154 is ordered and rolled. Mr. President, it is ordered that a message be sent to the Senate informing the honorable body that the House of Representatives has adopted the report of the conferees on Senate Bill 274, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services to exempt certain home assistance services from the home care licensure requirements. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, James White, Principal Clerk. Senate Bill 274 is ordered and rolled and sent to the governor by special message. Special message from the House. Senate Bill 508, a bill to be entitled an act to make technical clarifying and other modifications to the current Operations Appropriations Act of 2023 and to other legislation, is received for concurrence and House Committee substitute and referred to rules.
Ratification of bills. Clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills due to ratify for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 274, an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services to exempt certain home assistance services from home care licensure requirements. Senate Bill 409, an act to amend the offense of breaking or entering into or breaking out of railroad cars, motor vehicles, trailers, aircraft, boats, or other watercraft to provide that multiple acts of certain financial crime offenses may be aggregated in certain circumstances when determining the level of punishment to be imposed, to provide that proving it was the regular practice of a business activity to make a memorandum report or data compilation may be made by an unsworn declaration under penalty of perjury, to create a pilot program to authorize automatic license plate readers in state rights of way to make technical changes to the obscene literature and exhibition statute, and to establish an independent office of the state fire marshal in the Department of Insurance to prescribe the powers and duties of that office and to amend certain firefighter programs. And the following bills and resolution duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 68, an act to authorize the City of Hendersonville to use proceeds from off-street parking meters to fund capital projects and provide that revenues realized from off-street parking facilities must be used to pay bonds issued to finance such facilities or for other capital projects, to change the method of election in the City of Hendersonville, the Village of Flat Rock, and the Town of Fletcher, to remove the cap on satellite annexations for the City of Archdale, to add certain described properties to the corporate limits of the City of Asheboro, to change the boundaries of the Whiteville City School Administrative Unit, to prohibit homeowners association or unit owners association regulation or prohibition of displays of flags of branches of the armed forces or flags of first responders by or with the permission of owners on their property in Union County, to provide that regular municipal elections for the town of Hoberton and the town of Wallstonburg shall be held in even number years, to allow Burke County to use local sales and use tax revenue distributed to the county in a manner that is consistent with general law, to change the Johnson County Board of Education elections to residency districts, to extend the terms of the members of the Southeast Regional Airport Authority from 2 to 4 years, and authorize the Southeast Regional Airport Authority to convey real or personal property belonging to the authority by private negotiation and sale or long-term lease, to authorize Transylvania County to establish a rural development authority, and to change the filing period for municipal officers for the towns of Laurel Park and Mills River. Senate Bill 154, an act to make various occupancy tax changes. Senate Bill 757, an act to realign the North Carolina Congressional Districts. Senate Bill 758, an act to realign the North Carolina Senate Districts. Senate Bill 759, an act to establish election districts for the Watauga County Board of Commissioners, to establish residency districts for the Anson County Board of Commissioners, and to modify the primary process the Johnston County Board of Education. Senate Bill 761, an act to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and to make corrections to previous appointments. House Bill 898, an act to realign the North Carolina House of Representatives districts. Senate Joint Resolution 760, Resolution 2023-11, Joint Resolution adjourning the 2023 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening.